just sort of tell us what the main differences are still in the PCA area.
Mr. Chair, from my understanding after adopting the three amendments that we just did, that most of the outstanding similar or same language has been addressed. That was presented to us, I believe, 2 days ago, and that the primary differences focus around the money aspects, which result from the live-in requirement in the Senate side versus the House position that has no live-in requirement, and then also some tails impacts, and that Senator Lori may be able to explain to greater detail, addressing a phase-in of two ADL requirements for future PCA services.
But we will do that when we start doing the financing, would be my suggestion.
These are money differences. So
right, I think that, yeah, that you're
it
right.
It isn't just like we could just agree, yeah, without right, taking into account the money.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, that's correct. From my understanding, pretty much all the policy has been agreed to. Technical changes and amendments have been adopted, and we're simply on those two main policy issues that affect the spreadsheet and the dollars that are before us.
So, Senator Bergman.
Well, I accept, Mr. Chairman and Representative Hosh, when we did that amendment, all we did was amend the bill. We didn't adopt those sections. So we do need to have a motion to do that so that the staff could close those sections up.
Senator Lori.
That would be my suggestion, would be that we ask staff to kind of step us through the sections that we need to adopt.
I've
and where
got
we're
the
at
list
with them. Yeah, and then we
got
can
it right here, so we don't need to go through the arduous task of having it read to us.
But
Senator Solon.
Mr. Chair, there's still one amendment that has to be adopted that's recommended by the Department of Human Services, and that's amending Section 38 of the Senate language.
Sure.
And that's the SCH 1362A17 amendment.
Okay, well, maybe we could do this first.
Okay, let's do this. Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move that. Mr. Gill, are we amending the House section? No, it was the Senate, wasn't it? The amendment we did was to the Senate side.
Yeah, Madam Chair, on this list, I think most of these sections are Senate. I see one that's House 31, House 32 that was previously adopted, and then House 75 and 78 and 82 with amendments. So it's a combination of House and Senate.
All right. Thank you. So I move that Senate Section 21, 22, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, House Section 31, 32, Senate Section 32, 72, 73, House Section 75, 78, and House Section 82, as amended, be adopted.
Love it.
Madam Chair, and you wanted to, I should remind you that Senate 19 is also, it's not part of this agreement, but it's also part of the PCA package that is Senate only that the department felt very strong that they needed.
But I thought we had adopted that.
Senate 19.
All right, then I'll include Senate 19 in my motion.
Discussion of the Berglund amendment or motion? I don't see any, so all those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So we have adopted that. Yeah, let's do this.
And then, Mr. Chairman, I have
we have Senator Solon's also.
Oh. Yeah, why don't we do that first?
Senator Solon.
Mr. Chair, this is the SCH 1362A17 amendment. And basically what this, do you want me to address it while it's being passed out?
Yeah, go ahead.
This delays the applicability of long-term care consultation services to PCA services, private duty nursing and home health agency services until January 1st of 2011. And it also expands the direction to the Department of Human Services to streamline administrative processes to include timelines for when assessments must be completed.
Senator Solon, this is from the Department of Human Services.
Mr. Chair, it was worked out with the nurses in the Department of Human Services.
So, Senator Solon moves the A-17 amendment discussion.
Just a minute, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. Mr. Godfrey has a question as to whether there are, if this amendment affects any FTEs in the Department of Human Services.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, committee members, my name is Pam Urkel. I'm with the Department of Human Services Disability Services Division. And no, this does not have any impact to the FTEs for the Department of Human Services. This is direction for the public health nurses and the long-term care consultation team, excuse me, and when they need to do assessments, and it doesn't impact the department's FTE.
That includes the part about simplification.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Thank you.
Senator Solon.
I'm just tired, Mr. Chair. That this was worked out with the Department of Health or with the Public Health Departments and the Department of Human Services.
So, any further discussion of the A-17 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The A-17 amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
I have a question about this. Did we adopt House Subdivision 2 on Section 26, which talks about the 12-hour thing? Do you remember?
I don't know where I was.
In that whole spate of things.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Gill.
No, you're talking about House Section 26?
Subdivision 2.
The recommendation in the package that you just adopted was the Senate on Subdivision 2.
Ms. Chair, can I just comment about that and the Senate can think about it? I don't have the language in front of me, but I know that the element that I put in that section came out of the whole fraud thing. The current standard, well, there was no standard of hours per day that they would manage. They just would bill, pay whatever, and they had to recover some 256 hours in one day. So they put a new stopgap on there of 24 hours in a day, which I thought really wasn't a very firm stopgap. And even though some people need 24 hours a day, most don't. And so my thought was if we had the automatic approval at 12 hours a day, up to 12, and then if you needed more than 12, then there'd be a manual approval available for people over that. And the amendment, as I understand it, would allow them to do that. It didn't make them do it. Just it was gave them that opportunity to consider it internally and think about having a 12-hour meter and thinking there might be some misuse that would prevent, given all the troubles that the program has had. So that's that subdivision's intent for the Senate's consideration.
Okay. Did you have another one?
Mm-hmm. Senator Bergman. Mr. Chairman, I have a technical A-28 amendment that I think would be helpful if we could adopt tonight. The And this is a technical amendment to the continuing care article. It would be House Article 9, Senate Article 1.
What article?
House Article 9. I don't think under the circumstances that at the moment that we need lines 6 through 10, do we, Mr. Gill?
Not according to the last Senate offer. This is the mandatory consultation for housing with services.
Right, so.
Applicants.
We'll just delete lines 6 through 10 of the amendment. I'll be offering the rest of it. So lines 3 through 5, correct cross-references. Lines 11 to 13, expand the state medical review process modifications to apply to disability applications for children as well as adults. Sections 14 and 15, delete sections on MA eligibility for aged, blind, or disabled persons and employed persons with disability that are being amended to include references to the SMRT process modifications. Lines 16 to 27, add language relaxing the nursing facility COLA requirements regarding the set-aside for wages and benefits. This was agreed to in concept by our conferees, but we didn't actually have the language in front of us, and so it's been included in this amendment.
Is this to the Senate?
It's to the House language.
So, any discussion of that amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Oh, the 828 amendment to the House language is adopted.
And Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I have an A34 amendment. These are changes that are requested by DHS plus new ARA riders from the Department of Health. And so we can read through this together because I haven't had a chance to read it myself, but I think it'd be good if we could get this done with. Maybe it'd be a little bit easier if Mr. Gill went through it with us.
Mr. Chairman, it'd be even easier if the department went through it.
Okay. Is there someone from the department that could assist us then?
They're there. Human Services.
DHS.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, my name is Steve Nelson. I work in the Children and Family Services area of the Department of Human Services. And you know Jane.
And Mr. Chair and members, I'm Jane Rankin, the budget director at DHS.
If we can start out, the first rider is a rider that directs ARRA Food Support Administration supplemental funds that were provided as part of the increase in food support that happened in ARRA. and distributes those funds 20% to the commissioner and 80% to the counties for the purposes of.
Mr. Chairman, can I just ask, is the 20% then the portion that would be reserved for tribal reimbursement?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair, part of the state's 20% is a contract with the tribes, and we would give the tribes what would be their share if they were a county.
You said part. What
That's
part?
Right. Part.
What part of the 20%?
I would have to make that calculation. It would be based on a caseload factor that would be the same as the caseload factor that a county would receive.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, maybe I'll try asking the question differently. Is there any part of this 20% that the department would be keeping for itself?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair, yes, we would be keeping the lion's share for ourselves. We would be using it to reimburse the costs of changing the benefits for food stamps that were done back in March, and we would be using a portion for food stamp outreach, which is one of the things we use our current food stamp money for, and other administrative expenses.
Mr. Chairman, is there a limit on how much of this you can keep for administrative purposes?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, you can only keep what you earn. It has to be spent on food stamp administration. So currently we get 50% reimbursement for food stamp administration. So for those portions that we would be using of this, basically we would take 100% reimbursement, and there wouldn't be a state share.
Mr. Chair and members of the conference committee, when the stimulus bill increased funding for food support, they did it in two main sections. The largest amount of the stimulus increase is for benefit increases, and that is addressed by the smaller rider second down on the page. That is simply money that the department does not have administrative dollars associated with it. That's strictly the benefits that are going out to food stamp recipients. And then also in the stimulus bill, there was an allocation, an appropriation specifically for administrative costs.
I see.
And that's what the long rider is addressing, only the administrative costs.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
And then, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the next rider, the food support benefit increases, that actually retroactively gives us permission to have made those increases that the federal law required us to do in March. Then the next part in a rider that was describing the MFIP consolidated funds, it mistakenly called the MFIP consolidated fund Children and Community Services Block Grant. So we're changing that on page 331, line 9. Then on your comparison document.
If you go page 2 of the amendment, Mr. Chair and members, the rider that's entitled subsidized employment funding through ARRA. This is basically an option for you to consider. This is something that is allowed under the federal stimulus bill in the as one of the allowable uses of TANF emergency funds. And the department does not, at this point, have it was not included in the governor's budget as a proposal, but it is an option to access part of the TANF emergency funds.
And we didn't include this because we didn't have any data to base the amount upon. And what this rider does is it allows us to request the funds from the federal government, and the funds then would be subject to the process under Section 3, which is the LAC process. So we would determine the amount of funds we would request for this, and then go to the LAC and get approval.
For how to spend it?
To spend it this way, but since we don't have a number to put in here now, if we would request, once we figure out the amount of funds we would be eligible for, we would request it and then get permission to spend it from the LAC.
But the Mr. Chairman, the two things that you would be leveraging more money and spending would be for supported work or emergency assistance.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, we would be leveraging money for subsidized employment, which is within both of those programs. That's all we can leverage the funds for, subsidized employment.
And Mr. Nelson, do you have an estimate of what the federal funds would be?
Mr. Chairman, we've got a rough estimate. We're waiting for documents from the federal government as to how they're going to define this category. We think that we have possibly a couple million worth of subsidized employment that would fit the definition, which could leverage another 8 million. So it's a significant amount, but it's in order for us to get the correct amount, we need to contact the counties and get information from them. And because we don't know exactly what the federal government will be asking us for, we don't want to ask them yet and waste their time.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Nelson, what I was asking earlier is not how you're leveraging the money, what category you're leveraging the money. I understand that. What I was asking you is what you would be asking the LAC to spend the money on.
Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, we would be asking that the money be spent on subsidized employment within those two programs, MFIP Consolidated Fund and Supported Work.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Berglund,
maybe you could just elaborate a little more on what you mean by subsidized employment in the MFIP Consolidated Fund.
Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, when we have done some initial investigation into how much money there might be spent within counties for subsidized employment, there are some counties before supported work was created that did do subsidized work, and subsidized work is defined as the county giving funds to an employer to pay wages. There were some counties that were doing that, and that's what we need to discover in order to figure out what our base year spending was and which is the most preferential base year. We believe that federal fiscal 07 is going to be a very preferential year because supported work it was ramping up in 08, but there would be a little bit of base from MFIP consolidated fund that we need to discover in order to have an accurate request to the federal government.
Senator Berglund.
So, Mr. Chairman, somehow I'm not getting my question made clear enough. I am not concerned about how you're going to leverage the federal money. I'm concerned about what you think you're going to be asking to spend it on.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, we would be asking to spend it on subsidized employment in either MFIP Consolidated Fund or in supported work, and it would be spent by counties or other entities, and that would leverage these funds in the same way that we would be leveraging the emergency TANF funds for non-recurrent short-term benefits.
Thank you.
Okay, continue.
And then moving on for the emergency fund non-recurrent short-term benefits category, what we're doing here is we're using growth in the diversionary work program to leverage emergency assistance funds in the county. And this has been a proposal that originally was in the governor's and is in the House bill and is in the Senate bill. And all we're doing here is adding language at the end of our original rider that specifies that growth in expenditures for the diversionary work program over the amount expended in the calendar quarters of the base year would be used to leverage these funds. Just clarifying that it would be the leverage. It would be the 20% that these 80% would be built upon. And then on line 3.11, this is the acceleration of the Child Care and Development Fund expenditure rider that I had mentioned yesterday. Basically, what this does is it would give the commissioner flexibility to take funds that were appropriated from the AARRA funds in the Child Care and Development Fund and spend those earlier, and those funds would be replaced by other non-ARRA CCDF funds so that we could get these funds liquidated sooner, and thus we won't be under the supplement, not supplant restriction for as long. And this is a rider that would cover all of the appropriations in this section, and thus we won't have to go back and change each of the appropriations that specifically says in fiscal year 11 you'll use these ARRA CCDF funds.
So, Mr. Chair and members, this is another option essentially for you. This is implementing a memo that you received from the department under my signature on Saturday, and it basically said that now that we've had a chance to look at the CCDF guidance on the stimulus child care money, that it's our opinion that it would be better to spend the federal stimulus money in the CCDF more quickly. And given that the House and Senate positions are taking the child care stimulus money and allocating it, some in fiscal 10 and some in fiscal 11, the intent of this rider is to authorize DHS to essentially substitute that second year of stimulus child care funds with standard, if you will, federal child care funds, so that you would still be spending the same level of federal funds on your child care proposals in your bills, but it's that the stimulus child care dollars would be focused on the first year in fiscal 10, and then you switch, we would switch to the standard federal child care dollars in fiscal 11. That gets the state out from under the supplant of the supplement, not supplant, mandate a little sooner. So again, this is our recommendation. It's an option for you.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the language for the basic sliding fee allocation for calendar year 2010, I believe, goes with the House position that increases the basic sliding fee program temporarily through use of the ARRA funds, and it's a way to accommodate the fact that you're pushing in a lot of funds quickly and ramping up and that has an effect on the formula of the basic sliding fee, and you need to slowly move that money down. So it's just a matter of making the formula work when you have a jump in the amount of funds that are in the program.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, so since we haven't adopted that proposal, would this recommendation be just for that to be an amendment to the House language rather than an amendment that the conference committee adopts as a whole?
That would be correct. It goes along with the House
language. Well, then I think we should continue to go through this, but I don't think we should adopt it until we can get that sorted out so that this isn't just one amendment.
And then on line 5, or page 5, line 10, this was a rider that we had inadvertently missed that helps create the funding for the group residential housing savings in the governor's proposal. The first part is to increase the community-based service rates and allocations for the DD waiver, and the second piece is to change the difficulty of care payment under the GRH program, and those create the savings or some of the savings on the GRH page in the governor's proposal that both houses have accepted. And then page 5, line 33, fraud prevention grants. This is a rider. This rider and the rider on page 6, line 5, reflects the difference in the House and Senate position. In the House position, the House is increasing grants to counties by a certain amount, which would be in your tracking. And to increase those grants, we would include a rider that would show the increase in each year. In the Senate, the Senate is increasing state staff in order to expand the fraud prevention program to the whole state. And that's an administrative expansion. So this rider would be in that portion of the budget and would be at the level appropriated.
And then, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, on the middle of page 6 of this amendment, there's a starts on line 6.13. This is a technical cleanup. We spotted that in a Senate rider on ARRA, Homeless Youth Funds, that there's a word, the word delegate is used, and it's our view that designate was more likely the intended word, so that technical correction is made. And then the beginning on line 6.17, and going through to page 7, line 19 of the amendment, what this part of the amendment is doing is there is a Senate rider. The head note on it is federal stimulus money, mm-hmm. where it steps through each case where in the federal stimulus bill, one of the things it does is it makes increased appropriations, as you know, to a variety of block grant programs that then Minnesota is getting a portion of that increase. And in the Senate position right now, there's riders that step through each one of those, and it uses dollar amounts which were taken from our estimates that we submitted to the legislature as part of our federal funds approval back in March. We are concerned about that technique for including those appropriations in the omnibus bill for a couple of reasons. First of all, those were estimates, and we are starting to get more information on these different increases in block grants, and the dollar amounts aren't necessarily going to match up with the dollar amounts that are listed in the omnibus bill. The other technical concern that we have, and I've talked about this with folks from MMB, is that there's already structure in state law to manage the appropriation of each of these federal block grants. So we are concerned about a possible additional additional administrative steps that we at the department might be needing to take as we're setting up the accounts in our accounting system. So instead, what you have in this amendment is our suggested approach. It does specify in each case that you are acknowledging the federal funds that are coming in through the stimulus bill, and it identifies the particular programs that we know the money's coming through, but it does not have the dollar amounts in it. So we hope that you will take a look at this alternative suggestion and decide to use this approach in your conference committee report.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, so does that mean that we would not be able to appropriate dollars for certain programs that as we have done in our bill, or is this for the remaining money that would be in these categories?
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, No, it would not conflict with anything else that you're doing in the bill where you're appropriating specific dollar amounts. It kind of lies on top or fills in the gaps to make it a more complete authorization to the agencies.
Representative Clark, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering on the food support benefit increases, can you give us a sense there of the dollars that we're talking about and also the restrictions as compared to our existing food support programs?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, the food support benefit increases on page one of the amendment.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, it's essentially the same existing food support program, food stamps program that we have now. It's the provision in the stimulus bill that increases benefits by 13.6% effective April 1st. And then it stays at that higher level until the regular standing law in the food support program, which has an automatic COLA in it over time. At some point, those COLA increases will catch up to the higher increased amount that's provided in the stimulus bill. I don't have an indication. I don't have a sense of what it means for a particular food stamp recipient or family because it's all depends on their own circumstances.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clark.
Thank you. So this is food stamps only. It's not any other. It's not related to the food shelves at all. It's only for the food stamps. Is that correct? And do you have a gross figure, if not for individuals, but do you have a overall figure?
Ms. Rankin.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, I do not have the gross figure in my head. I have it in papers back on my desk. I was not prepared to
talk
about that.
That's okay. We can get another time.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Clark, if you look at the C paragraph at the bottom of page 6, that is for food shelves, and my understanding is that it's commodities that would be going to emergency food assistance.
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Nelson,
members, these federal funds are in a couple of places. The Department of Agriculture gets commodities, and these funds are actually administrative funds that allow a contractor to store those commodities and to transport them to food shelves.
And, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
One other question about the food stamp portion. The Senate has language in our bill in regard to making sure that people who are on the TANF program get the value of the food stamps. Is that also needed in addition to this language if we wish for that to happen?
Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, that would happen automatically. And then October, when the schedule changes again, it will be recalculated.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Nelson, that's not the information that we were given by other people in the department.
Oh, really?
That we actually have to amend the law because otherwise the law sets the TANF grant and it includes the food support.
Makes sense.
And if we want people to get the benefit of the food support, we need to do the other language.
Well, then.
So this language would not replace that language.
That's correct.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair and members, to finish stepping through this amendment, there is a technical change in the middle of page 7 of the amendment on lines 7.20 to 7.23. This relates to a provision that I'm not sure whether the provision will end up being adopted. It has to do with the hospital rebasing, but so this is probably a part of the amendment that you would mark to set aside and hold, and depending on what you do with your that particular item in your package, then you'd make.
We're not following you.
Yeah.
Because the lines you're talking about don't seem to match what you're talking about.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, I apologize. This amendment is drawn to Senate language. There's a rider on hospital fee for service payment delay. And there is a year on one of the lines in the Senate rider that needed to be corrected. And that's
what line on the amendment are you on?
I am on line 7.21 of the
amendment.
That
line says American Recovery and Reinvestment.
Mr. Chairman, I have to apologize. I've got two versions of the A34 floating around. I think some people, I had just a few copies, and then I made a small change that changed some lines, and I should have changed it to an A35, and I didn't. There's a very minor difference in the two amendments that is in the basic sliding fee rider, but the correct.
So we're on
the correct
7.18, is that what the.
7.21 would be the change from 2013 to 2014. That was in the version.
No, it's not on that line in the version we have. It's 7.18.
So. Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, I think you've pinpointed it's the four lines on page 7 that have nothing to do with ARRA appropriations, where it is drawn to the Senate language and it's changing a date. It's deleting 2013 and inserting 2014. That is the technical adjustment that relates to the Senate rider on hospital fee-for-service payment delay.
Okay.
And then the remaining sections of this amendment are doing the same sort of suggested change to the Senate treatment of riders, and this time it's Health Department riders. So Ms. Julek can talk more specifically about them.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
So before you go away from the table, just back to the supported work issue. And that is, just trying to hone in on this question a little bit more. If the funds are earned through subsidized employment activities that counties have been spending on, does the 10 of funds that you earn because of subsidized employment activities, is there a requirement that it be spent on subsidized employment activities, or could it be spent on supported employment activities?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, you could spend it on either. The way to leverage it the most is to spend it back on subsidized employment.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Could you explain that? Why do you leverage it the most by spending it back that way?
Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, then you've got growth in subsidized employment that you can earn
more
on.
In the future?
Yeah.
I see. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, Barb Julek, Department of Health. The remainder of the amendment, like Mr. Rankin mentioned, from line 7.21 through the end of the amendment, is just replacing the health department riders for appropriating funds that are available through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act for WIC and for Immunization Operations Program. And similar to how Ms. Rankin explained, these are very similar to the riders in the Senate, just taking out the specific dollar appropriation for the same reasons that Ms. Rankin explained.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Then my suggestion would be that we just lay this amendment over and ask the staff to pull it apart so that if we're amending a House position, we have that in an amendment, and if we're amending a Senate position, we have that in an amendment, and if we're amending a common position, we have that in an amendment. Then the language will be correct when we decide what we're doing, but we won't have it all in one amendment as if it's been finally adopted by the conference committee. And we also believe that we really need to tighten up the TANF language because the LAC is not really given authority by federal law to appropriate that money. It is supposed to be done by the legislature. And I am not very interested in setting precedent in that area. So we will be working to tighten that language up.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, could I just respond a little bit to Senator Berglund's last comment because I don't want to leave the wrong impression. The reason that that supported work rider even mentions the LAC is really a timing issue. You're in session now, but we don't think we're going to have the numbers that we need now to know what the dollar amount is that we could expect to get from the federal government. If we don't find that out until you're in session again, we would never use the LAC process. We would come with a proposal for you to consider, and then you would approve the appropriation of the funds for us. The reason that I thought of using the LAC is I was trying to figure out a way to have the legislature authorize this dollar amount if it happens when you're not in session. And I'm certainly willing to meet with staff and we can figure out if there's a different way to do it. It was the intent of that, the structure of the rider is because the commissioner has to be authorized to apply for the money, and then once we apply for the money, we can't spend it without legislative authorization. And so it was really a timing issue.
Senator Berglund.
So, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Rankin, we didn't expect that we would adopt it without you seeing it. I just wanted people to know we would be working on it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, thank you.
So we're going to pass out another House offer. Passed out, Mr. Walls will run through it.
Is it response to ours? No, this is our last one. It's tomorrow.
Because I have an idea.
Thank you.
Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair, beginning on page 2 of the spreadsheet, the House moves to its original position where the Senate is now on reducing the general fund administrative operations to the Department of DHS. That's on line 80. On line 97, the House picks up the Senate provision for the DHS lease cost reduction. Moving on to page 3, the House eliminates the original governor's position for restructuring licensing funding. That is on line 132. Mr. Chair, moving on to page 5, line 215. The House includes $4 million in accelerating federal spending in CCDF to move towards the Senate on that provision. Mr. Chair, moving on to page 9, line 458, the House includes the Senate provision on CCAP federal improper payments. Moving on to page 10, line 484, the House reduces its appropriation or its recommendation for an increase in food shelf spending from $175,000 down to $100,000. Mr. Chair, moving on to page 13, line 623, the House is putting forth a recommendation for an adult foster care rate ceiling at the current 95th percentile rate, similar to what the Senate does, but making the reductions only down to that 95th percentile. Mr. Chair, moving on to page 15, line 758, the House includes the Senate provision to prohibit CTSS simultaneous treatment by multiple providers. And, Mr. Chair, the final change would be on page 30, line 1471, the House reinserts $75,000 for rural pharmacy planning. Mr. Chair, I believe that concludes all the changes to the House position.
Repeat the last one.
Yeah, give us the last one again.
Mr. Chair, the final change was on page 30, line 1471. The House reinserts $75,000 in funding for rural pharmacy planning.
Is that a riot? Can you repeat the second to the last one also?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, that would be on page 15, line 758, the inclusion of the Senate provision for prohibiting CTSS simultaneous treatment by multiple providers.
Thank you very much. We will take this offer and study it more closely. Okay.
That's how long. So, time do you wish to start tomorrow? So I'm going to end the meeting, and we will start tomorrow with Senator Berglund as chair at 9:30. So the meeting is adjourned.